Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this glorious Friday. And of course, if you owned Amazon yesterday, it would have been. It is a glorious Friday because it only spiked up $70 after the close. After selling off into the close, earnings came out, and of course, another company that doesn't make any money yet and has a huge PE, but it keeps going higher. It's hard to get in the way. But I thought the action yesterday was, you know, pretty interesting. I think the way the markets turned late and sold off pretty hard, but I think you take a look at, you know, a couple of factors. A, we are very near all-time highs. It was interesting how early in the day they ignored the news over at night in Japan, where the Japan central banks did nothing, which I think spooked the markets a little bit overnight, but by the morning everything was okay. And of course our markets opened lower and then rallied, and then of course the wonderful GDP, it was 0.5%. You know, of course, according to the geniuses at work, we're doing great. And of course, that's telling you that everything sucks and that we're in trouble, and that we can, if we continue to kick the can down the road, the markets and the economy is going to collapse. But you keep listening to the Fed and the politicians that are stealing your money, and you'll find out that they're going to run you right down the river, just like they have done many, many times before. This is a crock of crap, and all they have to do is convince you that they're doing it for what's good for you, and you will find out that they really could care less, and all they're trying to do is figure out how to keep their own money and their own pensions and stick it to the average guy, and you can see that's very clearly what's happening. So if you watch and you see what we've been saying here on the show, and before the show started, there is no growth. Where is the growth? And the GDP number is a fact. They did not have the weather to blame this year. They've always had something to blame in the past, but of course, you can't blame something that doesn't exist. And since there is no growth, since banks are not lending money to anybody, how can you expect to have growth? This goes back to the socialism versus capitalism argument. They're trying to turn the economy into a pure socialism economy versus a capitalistic economy. Now we're 90% capitalist and about 10% socialist in this country, and that's the way the system works up with Social Security, with the entitlement programs. But if you want more government involved, this is what you get. You get people that overspend, overindulge, and forget about the people who got them there. But then as they're smiling at your face, they're stabbing you back and reaching their hand in your back pocket, taking away your wallet and everything else that goes with it. But that is what you can expect if we continue to go at the pace we're going. If we continue to let Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve print money by reducing your own money, if we continue to let banks loan out money and create money out of thin air, this is exactly what will happen, and you will end up no different than Greece or any of the other failed economies over the years, because you cannot continue to spend unless you can fill it in with an income. And since our structure is to remain in debt, and since the Fed wants that we keep the debts going, and the government wants to keep debt going, and banks want to keep debt going, it's kind of hard to get out, because they will continue to print at all costs, and they will try to keep loans on the books. So that does dwarf the potential for growth. That does take away a lot of the potential value of where we're going to go. And that is a bigger problem, and that's the problem that has to be addressed. But that will not be able to be addressed until you tell Congress and the Federal Reserve to stop borrowing their way out of debt, because we know that doesn't work. as we talked about yesterday, when we find out and they know that they failed, which they 100% guaranteed will fail. It's not a question of if, it's only a question of when. What you will find out is you will see that we will get to pay for it. And that is the hidden tax that nobody ever talks about. But we have to watch and pay attention to these numbers and not let, including the pundits that glorify everybody and tell you how wonderful it is out there and how great the companies are doing. Well, you know, it's hard not to do well if your expectations are zero. It's hard not to beat zero. Now, you know, in any sport, if you hold the other team to zero, then you can't lose. You may not win, but you can't lose. Okay? And when you have a expectation of zero, it's hard not to get over that bar. But we allow and continue to lower expectations so that we can reward the mediocrity of what we become. And if we're going to continue to reward mediocrity, what you're going to find out is that eventually we're going to all be on the company payroll and not making any money and not having a real life and not having the opportunity to get as rich as you'd like to, and which is, I don't think there's anything better than having the opportunity. You may not get there, but without the opportunity, you don't have hope. And in this life, if you don't have hope, what do you got to live for? That's, you know, that should be the engine that drives you every day, is the hope that you can do something better. And this is what is being stripped from us by all the regulation, by having a Federal Reserve that continues to break down to the big banks. Of course, they're involved, so I think they're more colluding with the big banks instead of breaking down, because the Fed is owned by the big banks. And I think that Yellen and all of the 12 Fed governors are in collusion with all the big banks. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's hard to believe that that's where we've come to, but watching what goes on, watching them do their funny work, and having an economy where we've had 0% interest for 7 years, and the best we can do is 0.5% growth, there's something wrong with that picture. Now, what's wrong with it? I'm not quite sure I can say everything that's wrong with it, but I can tell you one thing, that if you can see what everybody else did with the cheaper money, okay, all the smart guys, but all the money managers, what they did with it, why are the people that are in charge of the purse strings, why couldn't they do something with it? Of course, they could, but they chose not to. And that goes back to the overspending government, the overspending Congress, the overborrowing, and the not willing to really take care of and let the money trickle down as we were promised from the top all the way down, that there would be trickle-down economics. And that's what the purpose was, as they promised to say, hey, we're going to take care of you once again. They took care of us like they always did. They stuck it up our ass. Okay? That's always the case. And don't ever forget that when they go into that special meeting room, they're figuring out how they're going to steal the old man's bundle again. That's their only objective of the people that run it, is how are they going to get away with grabbing more of our cash. And if you don't think I'm right, go to do a little research and you'll see that the logic behind what they're doing, it makes absolutely no sense. But let's remember our friends at Thinkorswim. Built by traders for traders, you got to check out their swim lessons. You know, you go to their website, check out when they have them on. They've got a little bit more advanced. They've got beginners. My friends Kevin and Scott over here, you got to check those guys out. But more importantly, go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast of the Bubba Show every day. We just passed 200,000. We're now looking to get to 300,000 downloads a month. And, of course, I need you to be part of it, as well as follow me on Twitter at Bubba Average Joe. And like me on Facebook, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, I'm going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's the time of the
sun. Welcome
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's going on this lovely Friday? Well, you know, I tell you, the more I think I know, the more surprised I get at things that I hear and see. And I don't know if anybody realizes this, but I guess this was a Harvard study that more people, or they're people, 18 to 29, there's a smaller percentage that believe in capitalism and prefer socialism. Now, obviously, they've never been out in the workforce. Obviously, they've never made any money, because certainly if you were an earner, you would not believe in socialism. You would have to believe, one would think you would believe in capitalism. You know, I don't know. I think that the only ones that may not believe in capitalism are when you're born, because you don't know any better. And then when you make so much, you want everybody to think that you're really not a capitalist, even though that you are, because that's how you made all the money. I mean, it's the same thing we talk about all the time about the Whoopi Goldbergs of the world and the jackasses like that, Michael Moore, that hate the very country that made them their millions, so they can look like they're being so supportive of a movement, when really what they're doing is they've got so much money, what difference does it make? So I have a problem, but what I don't understand is where are the parents in all these? I mean, this is Harvard. This isn't, you know, community college. I mean, they're people that come from wealth. So I find it confusing that we would have, you know, people that would actually think that from that particular venue, right? I mean, and again, Harvard is not, you know, is not exactly a poor man's school, and you know, they don't give a lot of scholarships away, so it's kind of like, you know, if you're going there, you know, you've got either working your ass off, or born with a lot of money, your parents got a lot of money, whatever, okay. But where, I don't know, is something changed? Am I missing something in my overall views of what's going on here, that actually people really believe in that program? I mean, again, I know the very wealthy can try to be a little bit more benevolent about that stuff, because again, their issue is they got so much, it's not gonna, they can look like they support it, but you know, I don't know. I mean, why would anybody want to go into a business, okay, why would anybody want to go into business and hire people and actually support the economy if they were only going to give all the money away to taxes? I mean, I don't, that doesn't something doesn't fit right, right? The logic behind that seems to be a struggle for me, because look, I don't mind working hard and I don't mind giving to charity. I mean, I give to high schools right now. I mean, I educate financial literacy, but I certainly could not do that if I wasn't a capitalist. I certainly couldn't donate, you know, my time and my money to keep this program running right now if I wasn't a capitalist. I wouldn't have the money to do so. So where do these people come from, okay, that understand that, you know, capitalism, I mean, you know, capitalism is not a bad thing. Capitalism is a great thing. Capitalism gives everybody the opportunity to do what they want, okay? It gives the individual the right and the opportunity to progress at whatever speed they choose to do so. Some people are happy living in less, and some people want more. And if you want more and you're willing to work for it, I don't know why anybody would be against that. So it's I find it strange that age group, because they're usually, you know, they're a lot less materialistic now, because you know, they've got everything on their phones. But, and you know, I think the dress code is not the same, and the dating code is not the same. But I assure you, they're probably out hanging at bars, and I don't know how do they think they're gonna, you know, get the dinners and everything else that they go for. You know, it's an illogical problem for me that that we can just forget about and want to give our money away. And certainly giving it away to the government is the last place I give it. Now, if you told me I'd go to the dice table in Vegas, I might take a shot, right? If you told me everything I made over X was going to be taxed at 97%, but I could take a shot and shoot dice with it, okay, I might take a chance with that. Okay, but certainly I'm not going to give it to the government. What? Who the hell want to give them money? They don't. They just give it away anyways. I mean, does the government do one thing good with the money that they steal? I mean, take that they tax us for. Is there one thing that they actually do good that does not turn into be a major problem? And I don't think there is. I could not name one thing that they do that we're not paying for that doesn't turn into a major problem. So who the hell would want to trust these assholes with my money, okay, or your money, anybody's money? I mean, you know, you want to set up an organization to, you know, handle the money that's legit and straight up and not stealing it? Hey, I got no problem with that. I'd love to do that, and I would have no problem, you know, if we could make a better place because of it. I have no problem with that. Again, that's why I'm into financial literacy, because I'm tired of watching the people that are in charge, including our Fed chair, that are not financially literate. Okay, I mean, you know, so if you want to continue to do that, I mean, you ain't getting my vote, and you ain't getting my money either, if I can help it. I mean, that would be what they do now is criminal. Versus, you know, if you were doing something good with it, then I would have no problem trying to help and pitch in. I still think you have to be from a capitalist mindset, because that's where money and funding comes for a lot of these things, is through people that make it and that are willing to donate it to help a cause. Again, me with the high schools and, you know, many other people that do a lot of work helping groups and organizations. Okay, you know, and helping groups and organizations in the United States of America, right here. Okay? You know, I always have a fundamental problem when our money leaves here to help the homeless somewhere else, when I think there's enough homeless right here that could use the help. And that is another problem. You know, again, I have no problem helping those who can't help themselves or educating those who can't, you know, disabled, whatever. But if you're capable, you know, that to me is a problem as well. But again, going back to this, where we started out with, I mean, 51% or 52% or more want to be, don't believe in capitalism. I mean, you know, that is what this country was built in. That is, if we can ever get back to that, which that's a question itself, because we've got too many dopes to deal with when it comes to that. But if we can ever get back to that, then you would see some improvement. But because we've gone the other way, and because our government likes to give our money away or take it themselves but not make it better for everybody else, that has become the bigger problem. But again, if you go back and look, the very revolt that we saw in the Revolutionary War is the same problems we're dealing with today over taxation. Okay, so, you know, I don't know why anybody would think that that's a good way to go. I can't fathom it. I can't understand it. And again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's the nice thing about being here as well. But those of us who don't believe should not be forced into the views or the socialism that we have. I mean, you want to live that way? Great. I got no problem with it. But don't take away my ability or my opportunities because you don't have the same desire. And I mean, that goes along life. Some people just like to work for other people. Some people like to be entrepreneurs. Some people are happy, you know, making whatever they're making and go home and have a good time. And some people like to work harder. So I think that that's the bigger issue is, you know, when are we going to go back to, you know, we've already taken away free markets. Now we want to take away free will. I mean, I don't get that. I don't understand it. But, you know, that's at least I'm here. I still get the voice of my opinion. And, of course, you guys know that I will. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, every day you'll get the downloads. Okay. And you can get be part of my gang. I've now got over 200,000 downloads a month and looking to get to 3. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com, and we will make sure that we show you some of the bright things that we're doing. We've got a new options, futures, and hedging program starting on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and we'd love to have you as part of that. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, you know, as much as I like to try to defend and help my farming brothers and make sure that we all understand, it's always great when I get to do either RFD TV or Market Rally Radio or RFD Radio. And yesterday I had the opportunity to visit with Marlon Bowling from RFD, and check out what I had to say. I think there's some interesting things happening in the grain and cattle markets. So go check out what I had to say with my friend Marlon, and I will be back to you, and we'll go back and do some more. But here's, I'm going to go with Marlon Bowling from RFD Radio, XM 147. Let's go.
Wow, what a day that was. We did have a higher grain trade everywhere. Corn was higher by anywhere from, about 1 to 5 cents. Soybeans were basically about 4 to 9 higher, but they did have much higher gains than that during the day. The wheat market was higher in Chicago by at least a couple of pennies. Now, Kansas City couldn't keep up with that. They were drifting lower heading into the close. Minneapolis was kind of straddling the fence there. But on the livestock side, wow, we touched limit down on the live cattle and feeder cattle. And in the lean hog trade, we were actually about a dollar higher on some of the contracts. So we'll sort it all out, and we'll welcome into the program Mr. Todd Horowitz, otherwise known as Bubba Horowitz. And Bubba, thanks for joining us here today. Todd, you have a website called BubbaTrading.com. I encourage everybody to check that out, by the way. Excellent resources for market information. But what's your perception on how the grain market acted on Thursday? Because it came roaring out of the gate following some really excellent export sales numbers, but it did kind of drift later on in the day, didn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, it was drifting, and the close was a little weak. Not what you'd like to see as a finishing touch. I mean, we've seen that this over the last a couple of weeks, fairly soft closes, even with the rallies. Now, we've been in a very nice overall uptrend. If you take out last Friday, where we just got totally blistered, we've had a very nice uptrend. I mean, corn, since it's made its lows on April 1st, has been, nothing but go basically straight up. But I think what you're really seeing here, Marlon, I still believe there's a lot of short covering still in here. I know the reports were good, but you know me, I'm not a big news guy. I'm more of a technical reader of the markets, and I think that this looks to me like some short covering. I do like the space. I've been positive the grain space, and is why it was actually looking for the lows that we saw. I think now we need especially for the farmers and producers. I know it's hard to always say this because nobody wants to see their goods go down, but I think for the health of the market and for a better, stronger rally, which I think we're going to see later on down the year, I think a nice little sell-off here would actually be healthier for the market, so we can shake out some of the weak speculators and shake out some stuff and actually build a real strong base here. I think corn did a much better job, and corn will end up being the stronger of the group right here. But I do believe that we're going to see a good season. But I do think that from a technical standpoint, I'd like to see a little bit of selling, and I think you've still got a few too many shorts hanging around in this market right now. I think after they get squeezed out, and I think you saw a little bit that this morning. You know, we exploded right after the news came out, which means that they were running for the hills once again.
Well, we had corn export sales last week, 2.66 million metric tons. We had wheat, over 800,000 metric tons. That was about 200,000 higher than the average trade guess on the upper end. And then we had decent export sales on the soybeans too. They were over 900,000. Don't know if we can keep up that pace, but the dollar was lower on Thursday. I guess that helped the cause a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the some of the troubles in the general economy are helping the grains a little bit here. You know, the weaker dollar is helping. I think that's going to probably end up going away soon too. But what I said, you know, what I'd like to see myself is I'd like to see us survive with a stronger dollar, because I believe that the manipulation is going to end up being more trouble and more problems for farmers and producers than it's going to be helpful. And I think that we really need to get everybody out of the way and let the real markets take over and the true price discovery, because really what you're seeing is the general central bankers taking turns trying to push their dollar down and manipulating it so that there's some movement. So it does help, but at the end of the day, it really comes back down to the dollar and what it's really worth to the individual. So I think that I'd like to see these markets be able to trade with into a stronger dollar, because I think that overall that would show more health. And I think that the markets are going to be in good shape, and I think that we're going to see some continued strength. But again, I would like to see a little bit of selling pressure first.
Do you think farmers have been rewarding this rally and letting go of some cash grain?
I think they've been letting go of a little bit, but I think that one of the best things, and this is one of the things that I always like to have them understand, is if you hedge properly, you can wait, because you can keep rolling up and locking in your bases at a higher price. Because I do actually believe, you know, if you remember last summer, we had 450 corn. And I do think that we have a chance to get there again. And I like the position of holding and letting that basis get higher so that I don't have to worry about the bottoms and try to play for that big market. Because, you know, big markets, they don't announce themselves when they're coming. And that's what I'd like to see. So I think that is what we're going to see. But I do also think that some of the weaker hands and some people who needed to clear some storage space as well as clear some cash have liquidated a little bit.
Spoken like a true veteran. All right. Well, Todd, stand by. We're going to take a look at the livestock trade in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let's take a look at how we settled in that grain trade here on Thursday. All right. To Commodity Wrap, I'm Marlon Bowling with you, joined by Zach Troutman, our producer and engineer. On the phone, we have Todd Horwitz, better known as Bubba Horwitz, there on the trading floor in Chicago. He has a website called BubbaTrading.com that's terrific. You need to check it out. Let's take a look at that livestock trade. As we got toward the closing bell, we saw several contracts on live cattle and feeder cattle touching limit down. That was not a good sign heading into tomorrow, which would be the last trading day of the month.
And that is 100% correct, and it was very weak, and we started out, you know, relatively flat and near, and then all of a sudden the selling came in. And in fact, I was going to do some taking care of some hedging for some things, and I said, you know what, we better wait, because it looks like they're going to lock limit. And of course they did. But I think more interesting here, Marlon, is I think we're at some pretty good levels for cattle, both live and feeder, to be buyers. You know, I think this 115 level in the live and 141 in the feeders are pretty good numbers. But I also think I saw some very interesting things today, and that is the puking in the street of the cash markets. The cash traders were puking out. And remember, there's one thing that never changes, whether you're looking at the futures market or you're looking at the cash market. If there is fear or greed involved, it's being driven by emotion. And I think what you saw a lot today was that the cash market was getting hammered, and guys were liquidating out of fear that we're going to go lower. And to me, that's always a sign when fear shows up that the markets are probably, if not at, near a bottom. I mean, I never try to predict an exact bottom. I try to look for an area of where I'm looking for, and we are at that area. This is the number I've been watching for weeks, and I thought that, you know, live feed won't get to 113, which is our eventual low, and I thought feeders could get down to 140, 141, which is where we are. So I think you saw some major panic in the cash markets, which led over into the futures markets, pushing us down limit. But I think once the rest of the fear plays out and these guys are out, I think we start to see a very solid, sustaining rally from here.
Well, I tell you what, those wholesale beef prices on Wednesday afternoon were down $3 and $4. And then at midday on Thursday, they went down $1.60 again on the choice wholesale beef cuts. That had to be another negative arrow in that quiver there for the beef market and the live cattle trade. On the other hand, you had lean hogs going higher by over a dollar. Are you optimistic that they have more upside potential here?
I think the hog market here, this is where we're back at another key spot for me, okay? This $80 level is huge. Now, so far, every test we've made over the last 3 or 4 months has failed, and we'd work lower prices. If we can hold above 80, I think there's a chance for a big rally. But again, this has been hogs have been very disappointing going back into February. We have not been able to sustain that movement. If you remember, we got into that solid consolidation pattern for months, and then we finally broke to the upside and then immediately failed. So 80 is a key level. If we can hold above 80, I think we get a much more sustained, better move. If we can't hold 80, I think that 76 is certainly in the cards. And then the other problem comes in is the backwardation we're starting to see in hogs here, because as we know, as we get towards the winter, prices start to drop. So this is a very key spot in a very key area. I think it can hold. I think it can rally, but it's got to hold 80 or it's going to be no dice.
All right. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate all the comments on the markets. Todd Horowitz has a website called BubbaTrading.com. Go check it out and get in touch with him personally. He'll be glad to help you out with your own market strategies. So here's how we
So make sure you listen to Marlin and go to BubbaTrading.com. But anyways, I think what you're seeing now, interesting in cattle, is the cash markets are really breaking down. In fact, the cash markets are breaking down more than the futures markets, which indicates to me that they're puking and that we're now seeing desperation selling, not selling out of the natural order, but selling because we're panicked because how much lower we think we can go. And that, I think, is something that usually indicates that a bottom is coming in. And that's something that when you start to see that, doesn't mean you jump in and buy. It just means that you have most likely in the next day or two, we will probably see the bottom of these markets because we've been looking for it. They're bottoming right where we thought they should. So this would be an area, again, we don't want to jump in and try to catch the falling knife, but certainly I wouldn't panic and sell anything here, and I wouldn't get out of a long position, and I'd be looking to get into new long positions. But remember, that's just another sign indicating a lot of panic and a lot of fear. So that's the thing we're seeing in the cattle markets. When we come back after the break, I'll talk a little bit about the grains and a little bit about the hog markets. But first, we have to step out of a break. But remember, go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day. You get you can be one of my knowledgeists over 200,000 looking to get to 3. Also, go to BubbaTrading.com, as we said earlier. A lot of good information. We've got 3 new programs starting on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. We want to get you hooked up and ready to go. So go check those out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we were talking with Marlon Bowling yesterday, and I just played his interview, and I was talking about the cattle markets, and I think that you got to start watching potential bottom. I think in the hog market, you got to look at 80. We broke out of 80 on Thursday. If we can stay above it, we could see a little bit longer run, but they have been very, very weak or steady since February, and we've had trouble breaking out to new levels. So you got to be very careful here, but again, this is something that we're looking for. And I think the grain markets, you're still having a little bit of short covering in here. Yeah, I know we've had some good news, and everybody wants to tell you it's about the news. Really, the news is just part of it. The markets get driven usually by fear or greed. And I think right here now you had some shorts that still hadn't gotten out, and they just can't take it anymore, so they're getting squeezed out. So that's kind of the play there. And then I guess one of the things I wanted to talk about today as well is, what is everybody's opinion about Target and their transgender bathroom? Did they make a mistake? Is this going to be a critical error for the corporation? Because I think this is causing a lot of controversy. And, you know, it's, I think if they wanted to put in a transgender bathroom, they should have put in a neutral bathroom that you go one at a time, like many places have for handicapped. I don't believe that a woman should go into a men's bathroom, or a man should go into a woman's bathroom in a public place. I think that that's something for private. I think that I think Target is going to find out that they made a pretty big mistake here. You know, I don't know that a lot of people can deal with this. And I think that if there's one incident that ever comes out of this, okay, then it will really be the death of them. And I think that that could be critical to the corporation, because if you look at it from a financial standpoint, they could and they stand to lose a lot of business here, because, you know, again, we saw what happened with many other controversial issues over the years. And I mean, if they wanted to put together a bathroom that was designed transgender, I don't think that's a problem. I think that, but again, when you're talking about in public areas, and it's not the people that are transgender that are the worry, it's the ones that, it's always the criminals that find a way to beat the system. That would be my bigger concern. Okay, not somebody, you know, who's transgendered. I mean, that's part of who you are. I have no problem with that, but I'd certainly have a problem that when somebody, a deviant or somebody like that, decides that they're going to say that, well, I'm transgendered, so I get to go in there, and then somebody's going to get attacked. I think that becomes a bigger problem. And that, from a corporate standpoint, I can't believe that nobody in that company stood up. So I guess they must be okay with it. So, you know, I was curious what your opinion is. I think it's interesting. I think it brings, you know, something to light. But again, I think one incident, you know, they were forgiven for the credit card mess they had. But, you know, when it comes to incidents like this, they're very hard to forgive. So we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, if you have an opinion, shoot me an email. Love to hear what it is. And, you know, as we look around and in the retail space, you know, yesterday we had, you know, lousy GDP. And, of course, we've got almost no retail business right now. We're down, I think, 5 years in a row in retail sales. Now, everybody says, well, they're going online. I said, what does that mean? Those are still retail sales, are they not? You know, Amazon's doing big numbers. We saw their earnings. But where are these companies going to survive? You know, there's about 30% of the malls in America could be closed and nobody would miss them. We are so oversaturated in the retail field, from Starbucks, Noodle & Company, to any of the major chain stores. I mean, it's a no wonder that nobody can make any money, because think about it. You know, every store that's open, think about the payroll. Think about the taxes. Think about the utilities. Think about the cost of the real estate. How can they make any money? You know, you cannot depend, and no longer is Christmas big enough to carry you, because now you have to make such phenomenal deals that you have to give away a big percentage of your potential profit during Christmas to get them to come into your store. And I'm a big fan of Carson Pretty Scott. Every day I get a coupon, 50 out of 100. I mean, I know they're still making money. Obviously, the traditional markup is more than double. Otherwise, they couldn't do these stores, because they'd only be making up their losses with volume. But it is hard for them to overcome what we have now. And, of course, when you listen to the government or the Fed, there's no inflation. But go ask a couple of the store owners if they're paying more for supplies, if they're paying more for other things. And you'll find out then of course they are. So it's getting tougher and tougher to make the nut. And, you know, I don't know where they're going to eventually be able to turn the corner here. But I know the malls that I go into are typically empty. I know that in the area that I am from, there's a lot of people that aren't working. And I know that McDonald's is flourishing. And I know Walmart is getting better. What is that saying? Oh, it's saying that people don't have enough money to go other places. So more people are shopping at Walmart, people that didn't shop there before. And a lot more people are eating off the value menu at, like, McDonald's. Now, that becomes, you know, problems that need to be addressed. And we need to start to create real jobs. You know, next Friday, we've got the jobs number again. And, of course, it'll be another crappy number with they'll tell you how good it is, because I'm sure they'll create 200,000 jobs again. But I'm sure it's going to be 200,000 jobs of basically minimum wage. And the minimum wage debate rages on. And where my question is where will they pay for all this extra help? You know, we sometimes are so ignorant from the top down that why they can't see the issues that are going to be created. You know, if you think about it, the number one job employer in this country is service jobs. Service jobs are typically not high paying jobs. So if you're going to eliminate those, now, you know, I don't know about you, but I hate when I call on the phone and I get that damn voicemail. It drives me crazy, especially when you got to go, you know, pound one, hit two, hit three, hit eight, hit 400. I mean, you know, you get on the phone, you get stuck for hours trying to navigate your way through. Well, if you don't like that, wait till everywhere you go is going to be automated and there will be no more personal contact. We've already ruined the next generation from public contact because all they know how to do is text and use their cell phone. And they don't have to say no or I don't want to go. They just send you a text. Something came up. I'm not coming. So nobody has to talk to you anymore. And that is where we're going to end up with if we continue at this pace trying to break America by putting on ridiculous regulations on what you have to pay somebody. I thought that free markets and price discovery established what you were worth. I thought that minimum wage is only something that was put in to protect women and children back in the day when they were being taken advantage of. I thought that was to stay away from slave labor. But now it's become an issue. And, you know, all the powers that be, they're making it a bigger issue. And I think it's just showing you one more reason to believe that President Obama is a socialist. And everybody here, all the people that have it, want the rest of us to be socialists so they can continue to dominate and take over our money. And just check it out. See what you think. Love to hear your opinion. Because, as you know, I have an opinion, and I'm not afraid to share it anywhere, at any time. But everybody have a great weekend. Thanks for being a part of the show. We always love bringing you some of the great facts and figures, and even letting me mouth off a little bit. It's always great to be here. So enjoy your weekend. When you miss an episode, download it at libertytalk.fm. Make sure you catch the Sporting Edge tomorrow here at Liberty Talk. Xander and I do the Sporting Edge every weekend. But in the meantime, again, have a great weekend. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here on Monday. Thanks, everybody. Great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.